Amazing. I just really feel God's presence so thick in the atmosphere today. And I wonder if we can do one thing. I know that people may be happy that I'm here to speak, but I just want to let you guys know today, it's not about me at all. It's about him. And I wonder if we can just, for one second, just stand on our feet. Just one second. And just for 20 seconds, if we can just give glory to the King, because he is here. He is with us. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have done. We thank you, Lord God. All glory, all honor, all power, all dominion belongs to you and you only, Lord God. Lord, who else is worthy of your love, of your majesty, Lord God? We praise you. We love you. We lift you up, Lord God. We lift you up, Jesus. You be high and lifted up, Lord. Jesus, take your place. Take your place in our hearts today. Take your place in our minds today, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. And the church said, amen, 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 amen. Good morning. Good morning, church. Good morning. My name is Marvin, and I serve along with Ashley. I guess you guys know Ashley quite well out here. So I serve as an elder with him in the Lighthouse Church in the UK. This is my first time in South Africa, and I got to say that it's been amazing. It's been really, really amazing. At home, I've left behind my wife and my three children. They're going to be so excited to see me tomorrow because we've been away. I've been away from them for the last 2 weeks, but I'm so happy and I'm so privileged that I get to be with you guys today. I've heard so much about this church. Honestly, and you have so far, you've exceeded my expectations of what I've heard about this church. They said that you're vibrant, you're just ready to praise, and that you're just a hype church, and I can feel it today. Not hype as in just hype, but you're hyper for God, which I really love that. I'm a lover of Jesus. He's came into my life. He's changed my life for the better. And I wonder if there's anyone here today that loves Jesus as well. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's all about him. And it's so, it's just so amazing that you guys, I could be with you guys today. And it's only because of Jesus that I'm here today. If there was any other motive, I don't think I'd be here today. It's only because we are connected as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I send greetings from our church in the Lighthouse, and just know that if any of you come to the UK, you have a home and you have family there. So honestly, if you guys are out there, please let us know. We'll be more than happy to welcome you guys. And just for myself as well, I feel so welcomed in this place, and it does really feel like home being here. And the worship today was so rich and so beautiful. So I just want to big up the worship team. You guys are amazing here, man. So it's been really good. So I just want you to just turn to your neighbor, and I want you to just ask them, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And the reason why I asked that is because so many people today find their identification in so many different things. You know, people find their identification in their appearance. You know, if it is your color, your skin, you might find your identity in your size. A lot of people, they back home, they call me Big Marv. And, you know, it's not a disrespect, but they just recognize that I'm bigger than the average man. So they call me Big Marv, you know. And you can find your identification in nicknames. You can find your identification in the jobs that you do, your career, your status. Many people find their identity in the names that they have, in their ancestry, especially if you've had someone that is very famous. You can find your identity in that. A lot of people find their identity in their sexuality. People find their identity in their wealth and their status. And I wonder, you know, when there's, as I'm even looking at this baby right here, and it's like, have you ever held a baby and you've looked at the baby and you think, wow, he's got his mum's eyes, or she's got her dad's nose. Oh, she really resembles her parents. And people find identity in that as well, and how you look and how much you look like your parents. Especially my second born son, a lot of people, when he was born, a lot of people said, wow, Marvin, he is you. And they used to tell him, and they still tell him today, they say, if you want to know what you're going to look like in about 30 years' time, just look at your dad, because you look exactly like him. And in the UK, we have a saying, the British have a saying that he's a chip off the old block. Or they may say the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, especially when you start to identify similar characteristics in your children. And I don't disagree with this method, but even when you have somebody that may be addicted to drugs or have substance misuse in their life, when they go to an AA meeting or they go to rehab, the first thing that they have to do normally is to identify with the addiction. So they say, my name is Johnny. Sorry if there's any Johnnies in the room today. My name is Johnny and I am addicted. I am an alcohol. I have an alcohol addiction. So some people even find their identity in their addictions. We see today in society that there is an identity crisis. I work in a college, so I work as a safeguarding manager, and I work across three different colleges in North London. And so I mainly work with 16 to 18-year-olds. And what I can see is that there is a huge identity crisis. We find that a lot of people will use social media as their main way of showing their identity. And as many 16 to 18-year-olds will know in here today, is that on social media, you can be anybody that you want. You can be anybody that you want. There's a term that's called catfishing. I'm not sure if you've heard of that term. And basically, it's a term where there's actually a program on it. I'm not sure if any of you have seen the program where, you've seen it, yeah? Good, good, good. There's a program where it's called Catfish. And it's basically people that have been dating each other over the internet for a period of time. And then it comes to a time where they've been dating for, some of them for years, and they've never seen each other. They've only just had a relationship through either talking on the phone or through messages. And when they come to meet up with each other, they are in shock. Because the person that they thought that they've been having a relationship is not actually that person. It's someone totally different. So we can see that there are so many ways of being able to trying to shape our identity. Thank you so much. Even myself, I had an identity crisis in my younger days. So I grew up in a place called Gloucester, which is a very small city, and it's on the southwest of England. And growing up, my first primary school that I went to, I was the only black child in my primary school. And so for me, I always knew that I was very different to my peers. And sometimes I was celebrated for that difference, But other times, there was a lot of bullying that was involved in that difference as well. And when I was about 10 or 11, I remember my family, we moved more to the inner city of Gloucester, which was much more culturally diverse. And I remember going to school for the first time, and there were so many other black children there. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm going to fit in straight away. But guess what? I didn't fit in because I had grown with so many white children that I couldn't even identify with the black children. They would ask me about songs that I didn't know of. You know, they would ask me about certain foods or certain styles that I just weren't with because I wasn't from the inner city like them. And I remember even growing up, and for me, I always tried to fit in where I was. And so I was about 15 years old, and bearing in mind, so I was actually born and raised in the church. So my parents are leaders. So when I was 15, I gave my life to God. So I thought, really, I got baptized because I was just scared of going to hell. And in my church, that was the main thing that they would preach is, you know, you better get baptized. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might lose your life. You don't know what's happening within the next hour. So I got baptized out of fear. So I got baptized. And probably for the first 6 months, I was able to kind of live that church life. You know, I was able to really dedicate myself to the Bible. I dedicated myself to prayer. But because I didn't have a true understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I very quickly fell back into my old ways. And I would call myself... Well, looking back now, I was called the great pretender. So when I was with my friends, I knew how to be bad. I knew how to do the things that they were getting involved with. I knew how to party. I knew how to, I didn't get involved in drugs too far because I did have a very strict dad in my house. And so I wasn't afraid of police. But if I was to get in trouble, my dad's face would come into my mind and it would very quickly humble me. So I really knew my place. But yet still, I was still a bad person. I would still lie and look lustfully on women. And on the other side, I was baptized and I was in church. And I knew how to do the church thing. I knew all of the church lingo. I knew it. And they would be so excited because, look at this young man. He's got baptized. And that was such a huge thing back in the day where young people got baptized. You know, the church would get very excited. And so sometimes they would ask me to come and pray. And I'd be like, yeah, of course I can pray. And, you know, and I'd just go out there. Oh, righteous, glorious God, we look to you. And I knew all the church lingo. Wasn't from my heart. I was just copying my dad. And I was copying my uncles. And I was copying the people in the church. So I had an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was. And it wasn't until I was around about 19 and I went to a youth camp. And at that youth camp, that's when I heard the gospel for the first time. And I understood it. So bearing in mind, I've been in church all my life up to 19, and I didn't even understand what the gospel message was. I didn't have a clue. And so I heard it and it's almost like I heard it for the first time. And I understood it, and some elders prayed over me, and I received the Holy Spirit. And from then, that's when I started to live my life for Christ. And that's when I started to find that my identity is in Christ Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today about your identity. And I want to encourage you that your identity is found in Christ Jesus. And I want us to just have a look at our great forerunner, who is Jesus, and how Jesus found his identity when he was here on the earth. And so I want us to look at Luke 3, 21 to 22. And so we are looking here where Jesus is getting baptized. And it reads, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. So I want us just to focus for a minute on those words from the Father. He said, you are my son. So what is the Father doing? He is actually confirming Jesus' identity. Whom I love, with you I am well pleased. And we see that Jesus is unique in the way that he is the only divine son of God. But we are partakers of that divine nature. But we're not divine ourselves in nature. But having said that, let me also say this, that every born again believer needs to hear something like this in his spirit from the Father that says, you are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The Father is pleased with us because we are in Christ, covered by his precious blood and sanctified by his Spirit. And I can think of no better therapy for a human soul to hear that from God. You are my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. And what I can see from this, I can see three A's that God is doing, God the Father is doing with Jesus. There's acceptance, there's affection, and there's approval. So when we look at this, when we look at this is my son, the first part of the verse speaks of acceptance. So God is declaring his acceptance of Jesus being a part of the family of God. When we look at whom I love, this is showing affection. You know, this is not conditional, but it's a positional love. It's not a matter of God. It's not a matter of the good Jesus, of what Jesus has done to deserve this. God is saying that he loves him just because of who he is. And this is a part of his identity. This speaks of the sonship, that type of love. And it says, with him, I am well pleased. So we can see God's approval that is on Jesus as well. And that also brings me to another A as well, which is affirmation. So we can see that Jesus was well affirmed in his identity by God the Father, even before he started his ministry on earth. So these words from heaven prepared Jesus for the fierce and the greatest battle that he was about to fight, which was concerning his identity. And when you think about it, and you think about the death of Jesus, that's the main reason why he actually died. Because he was saying that I am the Son of God. And they were saying, no, you're a blasphemer. So they were trying to, you know, not confirm his identity as the Son of God. And I just want to read for us what Paul encourages us in Ephesians 1, 3 to 6. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to be praised to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So the scripture is saying here that even before we even knew about Jesus, even before we knew about the gospel, God had already predestined us to be a part of his family and to be sons and daughters of him. Not only had he predestined that, but also it was a pleasure for him. It reads, it says, according to the good pleasure of his will. So it was a pleasure for the Father to accept us as his sons and daughters. And that is a part of our identity in Christ. Are you following me? Yeah? Okay, good, good, good. We also see from the scripture that Jesus was actually baptized. And so why is water baptism so important? And I'll tell you, it is important because it is a public declaration, public identification with Christ. And when we go down in the water, we're declaring that the old life is over, our old man is dead, and we will no longer live according to that old identification, and now we will live with our new identity in Christ as we raise from the water. So your water baptism gives you a specific identity in Christ. We are doing what Christ did. And so when we are baptized, we are identifying with Christ. And it's not a status thing. It's not something that we've earned. It's freely given to us. And for any of you that has not been baptized, please speak with your elders. I encourage you to be baptized. If you want to be identified with Christ, I encourage you today to be baptized. And then so as we go on in the scripture, what follows from the story of the water baptism is that we look at the genealogy of Jesus. So again, we're still talking about his identity. And genealogy in those days was important throughout the Bible because it communicates identity. And we do that by using a person's last name in our day and age. But at his water baptism, Jesus is identified as the Son of God. And we can see that in his genealogy, he's identified as the son of David. And then we read a little bit further down in Luke 4, and we see that Jesus was fasting in the desert, and then he was approached by Satan himself. And then we can see that the first thing that Satan tries with Jesus was try to destroy his identity. He challenges his identity. He questions his identity. The first thing he said was, if you are the Son of God. So if Jesus was challenged about his identity, how much me and you are going to be challenged about our identity? And the accuser, he always comes when we're spiritually depleted. Have you ever had moments when you're just spiritually depleted, when you're a bit down? And then he gets you to question yourself. He's like, was your baptism real? Because you didn't fully go under the water. So I don't know if it's really real. You know? Are you really saved? Because I saw what you done last night. And that's not what a child of God does. Are you really sure that you're actually identified with Christ? You know, Christ I know. Paul I know. You, I don't know. Are you sure that this you identify with Christ? And these are the little questions and the little things that come into your mind to try and destroy your identity in Christ. But what I want to encourage you is do not listen to that foolishness. It is foolishness. Somebody say foolishness. Foolishness. That is foolishness. You are identified in Christ. Just prophetically, let's just put our hands on our heart and just say, I am identified with Christ. My identity is in Christ. Amen. So I have a key question for you. Are you full of the word or are you full of the world? Which one is it? Is the word of God a high priority in your life or is it your social media? Is it Netflix? Is it football? Sorry, I'm in South Africa. Is it rugby? What is the priority in your life? And I want you to be encouraged by this. And I want to just really encourage you that the word is vital for you to discover your identity in Christ. If you do not read your word, if you do not understand the word, if you do not study the word of God, your identity is going to be destroyed. Read the word on a daily basis. When you come across scriptures that you don't understand, go to your elders, go to your leaders, go to your leader. Ask them questions. Say, look, I don't understand this portion of scripture. Would you help me? Sign up to Leap. You need to get the word in you. You need to get the word in you. You need to understand who God the Father is, who God Jesus the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is, who God the Holy Spirit is, and who you are in reference to them. If our identity is not secure, we will accept anything to fill that void. When you do not know God, your God-given identity, you will be willing to accept worldly standards. And that is why our society, even our young people and our old people today, I'm not ageist, you know, our young and our old people today are wrestling with identity. And that's why our mental health concerns are on the rise. Self-harm is on the rise. Suicidal thoughts, attempts are on the rise because people don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. And I say this so sensitively as well because you may have had a traumatic experience or an adverse childhood experience in your life that has come to destroy your identity. But please do not find your identity in your trauma. You're not identified by your trauma. You're not identified by what that person did to you. That's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. Amen? Amen. Just checking that I'm still with you guys. And I just got a few scriptures, and I'm not going to labor these scriptures, but I'm just going to ask that they go on there. And I want you to either take a picture of them, or if you're very, very quick, you can write them down and read them in your own time. I want to encourage you to read the word for yourself. So when you read the word, you're reading Romans 8, 1 to 2, that you are free forever from condemnation. It's coming. Don't worry, guys. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. When you read in Romans 8, 28, it says that I am assured that all things will work together for good. When you read Romans 8 again, in 31 to 34, it says that I am free from condemning charges against me. When you read again in Romans 8, again, 35 to 39, it tells you that you cannot be separated from the love of God. When you read 2 Corinthians 1, 21 to 22, it says that you have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. When you read Colossians 3, verse 3, it tells you that you are hidden in Christ. When you read Philippians 1, verses 6, it says that I am confident that the good work of God has begun in me and will be perfected in me. And when you read Philippians 3, 20, it says that I am a citizen of heaven. That's where we find our identity, in the word of God. And those are just a few. That's just a snippet of what you'll find in the Word about your identity. Your identity is rooted in Christ and in Christ alone. So when we are rooted in Christ, a lot of the times is that we try to change our habits by ourselves. But I want to encourage you to have a changed heart. It's not about the habits that you're trying to change. So many, I look at so many videos that say, you know, it takes 21 days to change your habits. And I believe that a part of that can be true. However, you're never going to change your habits unless you change your heart. You need a heart change. And the Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all, because everything you do flows from it. Your heart is so important. And if you want to know your identity in Christ, you need a changed heart. People can forever be saying your identity is in Christ, your identity is in Christ. But if you don't have the heart to receive it, you're never going to believe it. So I want to encourage you, ask God to change your heart. In areas where trauma or abuse may have been prevalent in your life and now you've got a hardened heart, ask God to soften your heart towards Him so that you can hear from Him and that He can confirm His identity in you. When we read Matthew 16, 26, it shows that our sonship and our identity is not conditional. It's not based on what you do. It is based on what Christ had done on the cross for us. When you understand this fundamental principle of Christianity, your life will look different. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. In Matthew 4, 1 to 11, I'm not going to read it now. I'll encourage you guys to read it. Make a note of it. Go and read it. We see that Jesus was accepted before the journey of temptation. And your identity will always be tested in a wilderness season. Lucas spoke about that wilderness season at the Equip. I'm not sure if you was there, but that's what he spoke of, being in a wilderness season. But what God said is, in a good season, it will be tested in a wilderness. But remember, you didn't become a son of God because of your works. It's because of what Christ did. And even when you look at the world today, the majority of issues are birthed through identity crisis. Because people don't know who they are, that's why there's so much issues in the world today. Can you imagine? I just want you to imagine for a moment that everybody on earth was a Christian and they knew that their identity in Christ. How peaceful would the world be? Yeah. So many issues would just not be there. And I just want to close on this scripture. And I feel that this scripture kind of sums it all. Like, who you are, you know, what is your identity? And it's a very well-known scripture if you read your word. It should be a well-known scripture. And it's taken from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. And I can already see some people in the spirit are starting to quote it in their minds. And it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That is our identity. That is our identity. I wonder if the worship team can just come forward and help me out as I close out. And I want to make two appeals today to you. And my first appeal is for those who It may be your first time hearing about Christ. And it may be the first time that you're hearing, wow, my identity is in Christ, but who is Christ? And I want to let you know that Jesus Christ, he wants to know you today. He wants you to come into the family. You know, God the Father is, it says that it is pleasurable for him to know that you are a son or a daughter of him. And so I just would like to just tell you a little bit about the gospel. And the gospel message is that in the beginning of time, we were connected with God. Adam and Eve, they had a relationship with God. They walked with God. It says, Adam, in the cool of the day, he walked with God. And then sin entered the world through disobedience. And because of that sin, it separated us in that relationship with God. So that means that everybody now that is born after Adam is born without being in a relationship with God. The Bible says that we were born in sin and we are shaped in iniquity. And God knew that from the beginning, and he had a special plan for us to bring us back into relationship with him. And we see in the New Testament that Jesus came down. Jesus was with God, but he humbled himself to the Father, and he came down, and he was the perfect sacrifice for us to pay for our sins. Back in the Old Testament, what used to happen was that the old priests, they were, once a year, they would have to make an atonement for the people, which meant that they had to kill burnt offerings and kill animals as burnt offerings onto God for the sins of the people. But it didn't work, because it kept on happening year after year. And if it wasn't for Jesus, that would be something, a practice that we would probably be doing even now to this day. But God looked down and he said, look, there's a perfect sacrifice here. And this only has to happen once. And that was Jesus dying on the cross for us. And for many Christians today, this is what we believe. And this is what we've accepted. And so we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And if you would love to accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior today, and if you would love for your identity to be found in him, you know, you can raise your hands. But I want us to stand as well. If all of us can stand. So if that's you today, just raise your hands. Amen, my brother. I'm even going to ask that you take a step of faith and even come forward a bit. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I'm just going to ask if one of the elders or the leaders can come and just pray a salvation prayer with our brother. Come on, let's celebrate. It says that heaven rejoices when one gives his life to God. Heaven is rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. We praise your name, Jesus. And my second appeal is for those that you may know Christ, you may have given your life to Christ, but somewhere along the way, you've kind of lost your identity in him. It may have come out of, you know, not reading the word. It may have come out of a traumatic experience that has happened in your life. But I really feel and sense that God is saying he wants your identity to be found in him and in him alone. You may have found your identity in your career. You may have found it in business. You may have found it in even in racism. But God is saying, no, your identity is in me. Don't let the enemy question or challenge your identity in me. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen, amen. I'd love for you to come forward. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. and there may be areas of your life that are not found in him, but Jesus wants your all. 95% won't do. With that 95%, you know, the enemy can still question that 5% and try and throw you off. But God wants your all. He wants you to surrender all of your life to him. So there may be areas of your life where you may compartmentalize your identity. Maybe just on a Sunday, yes, I'm a Christian, but throughout the week I live as somebody else. But God is saying that your whole identity should be found in him. Amen. Can we pray? Let us pray. For those that are at the front, I'm just going to ask some of the leaders to just come and support some of these guys as we pray for them. Heavenly righteous Father, Lord God, we come before you today, Jesus. We thank you about your word on our identity, Lord God. And I pray for each and every person that is here today, Heavenly Father. Lord, in the areas of their life where their identity has been challenged, has been questioned, where they haven't found their identity in you, I pray, Heavenly Father, that they will find their identity in you today, Jesus. I pray right now, Lord God, that you begin to soften hearts, Lord God. Soften their hearts so that you can speak to their hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as you speak to them, Lord Jesus, even right now, Lord, that there will be a change of heart, Lord God, and that they will begin to find their identity in you, Lord Jesus. Even those that have questioned their salvation, Lord, and they said, I've never heard from you before, Lord God. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you speak so clearly to them, Heavenly Father. Speak so clearly to them, Lord, that they will hear your voice today and that they will know, Lord, that they are yours and their identity is in you, Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing today, Lord God. I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come, Lord God, to say, I know who I am. I know who I am. My identity is in Christ Jesus and in him alone. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're about to do, Lord Jesus. I thank you for those that are just going to explode and grow in you, Lord. And because of their identity in you, Lord, they're going to be able to use their gifts to build up the church, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that they are now a part of the family, that they are sons and daughters of you, Heavenly Father. For those who have lost family members, mothers, fathers, and it's been a struggle with their identity, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that they will know that you are their Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, and that you are the only one that can fill that void in their lives. I pray that you cover them, Lord God. Protect them, Heavenly Father. Protect them from the lies of the enemy, Lord Jesus. Protect them from what social media is telling them, Lord God. Protect them from what society is telling them about their identity, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that there be such a hunger and thirst for your words, Lord God, that even after this service, Lord God, there'd just be an activation, that they'll just want to read their words to find out who they are in you, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing. We praise your holy name.